Do you swear on the Constitution of the United States to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
This is Police Radio,
the voice of American law enforcement,
with your host, Randy Sutton.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks so much for joining me. Got a great show for you again this week. Before we get started, I want to thank those who make this show possible, and that is BlueLivesMatter.blue. BlueLivesMatter.blue is the news and information website about all things law enforcement, about the Blue Lives Matter movement. Also, for the coolest t-shirts and all of the garments and all of the stuff that's being sold on BlueLivesMatter.blue is produced by Warrior12.com. Warrior12.com has all of the Blue Lives Matter t-shirts and cups and all kinds of other cool stuff. So check them out, Warrior12.com. And JSD Protective Services, they are the 21st century security company. They're all over the country. And for all your security needs, it's JSD Security Protective Services. So without further ado, let us take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to give you my view from the blue.
The briefing room, headlines, stories, and all that touches American law enforcement.
Welcome to the briefing room, Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. Well, this week we had a couple significant things that I'd like to give you my views on. One is the big news is that in the Philando Castile shooting, which caused so much angst and protests up in Minnesota, you'll remember that City of St. Anthony, which is right next to Minneapolis, Officer Geronimo Yanez was on a traffic stop with Philando Castile as the driver. Castile had been smoking dope, smoking marijuana, had a CCW permit, and during the confrontation with the subject, Castile, Yanez told him to keep his hands away from his gun. Castile did not, and the officer shot him to death. And what really brought this to the protests and out to the community at large is that Castile's girlfriend, in one of the most cold-hearted things I've ever seen, instead of helping her wounded boyfriend, she FaceTimed this whole thing. And it was eerie to see this. So the governor of Minnesota, who is a raging liberal moron, immediately condemned this as a racist shooting. Even though Yanez is a Hispanic officer, they initially, you know, claimed it was a white officer, you know, shooting a black man, you know, executing a black man. When it came out that he was Hispanic, that didn't change things very much. It was the police officer who was murdering the poor black man, and it caused a great deal of protest, violence, and such. Well, the district attorney up there couldn't wait to charge Yanez, and his trial took place this last week. And the jury had access to, of course, much more evidence and much more testimony than the public has, of course, because they get to see the dash cam footage. They get to hear all the radio transmissions. They get to see all the witnesses. And they found Officer Yanez not guilty. Not guilty. And, of course, that's something to be celebrated for the law enforcement community, because when you are perceiving a deadly threat, especially when you know the subject is armed, then you have a right to defend yourself. And they destroyed this young police officer and charged him with manslaughter. They were going to put him in prison. And the district attorney couldn't wait to do it. The governor couldn't wait to announce that this was a racist shooting, even before he had any information whatsoever about it. So he gets acquitted. And you know what happens the same day? The same day, the St. Anthony Police Department, police chief comes out and says, we're firing him now. Yeah. So Officer Yanez is found not guilty of doing anything wrong. And what happens? He gets fired by his department. You know, this is unfortunately what we're seeing more and more in police agencies all over this country. A failure of the leadership to have the backbone to stand up for their officers. And unfortunately, we are seeing this take place in many more places other than St. Anthony. But this is another example of a law enforcement officer being forced to use deadly force, which in and of itself has so many issues involved with it that affect the psychology, that affect the emotional health of the officer. And now, instead of being able to go back to work, back to the profession that he loves, he's being fired. So this is one of those things that is not a happy ending. It's a happy ending in one sense, in that the officer is found not guilty by a jury of his peers. But in addition to that, the verdict, of course, has resulted in massive protests that are still going on. There's been some violence, not as nearly as much as there was when the initial shooting took place, but in another very disturbing part of this, Castile's mother came out on Facebook with a video that is absolutely chilling for me to see. She's calling for violence. She's cursing and screaming and basically telling people to go out and do what you got to do, that the police murdered her son, and she puts it out on social media and becomes a martyr, basically. So that's taking place even as we speak. There's more and more protests. I'm just hoping that they will remain peaceful, and hopefully the officer will find employment elsewhere, although... just like Officer Darren Wilson, who's still in hiding, I don't know if this officer will ever work in the profession that he loves so much. And that's part of my view from the blue for today. But there's more. If you have any security needs, no matter what state you're in, the company to call is JSD Protective Services. I've been really impressed with this company. I've met several of the people who are involved in it, and they are quintessential security officers. They really care about what they're doing. This company does everything you could want when it comes to security. They do courier service. They do armed security. They actually do police functions as well with certain contracts that they have. They are private detectives. They have pretty much everything that you could want when it comes down to security, and they do it really well. These guys truly care about what they are putting out. And the owner, Doug Carter is his name, is one of these people that really cares about who he is protecting, who he is serving, and he takes it really seriously. The big difference is their training. It's incredible. They actually have probably more training than many police departments. JSD Protective Services. You want to find them at 844-663-3611. That's 844-663-3611. JSDProtectiveServices.com. I just read something that is making me nauseous, and that is the announcement that there is going to be a new movie made. Yeah, you know, we all love movies, right? And yeah, there's going to be a new one. And it's by a big movie company. And you know what it's about? It's about Michael Brown. Yeah, the hero of Ferguson. They're going to make a movie about Michael Brown's life. Based on, you're going to love this, on his mother's memoir. Yeah. Now, you'll remember that the mother is one of those people who got arrested for fighting with another family member over selling T-shirts that had Michael Brown's face on it. Yeah, yeah. And the father was the one that was calling to burn the town down. Yeah, they're making a movie about Michael Brown's life based on his mother's memoir. Oh, I am nauseated. And it's, you know who's, and it's Warner Brothers. We're not talking about some jamoke out in the hinterlands doing an independent film. This is Warner Brothers. And what are they doing? They are going to glorify the life of this thug, Michael Brown. Meanwhile, whose life is ruined? Darren Wilson, the police officer who is forced to use deadly force when he is attacked by this thug who is nothing short of a violent criminal. And he attacks the officer. The officer does what he needs to do in order to save himself. They are actually fighting over the gun in the police car. The gun goes off, and Michael Brown runs for a little bit and then turns and he comes charging towards Officer Wilson. Officer Wilson does what he needs to do. He opens fire and he kills the suspect. That, of course, begins the process of all this insanity that happened in Ferguson with the burning of the city, with the riots and everything else. And who's just blamed for this? Who started this? Michael Brown. And then, of course, all of the insanity and lies about hands up, don't shoot. So Michael Brown commits a robbery. Michael Brown attacks a police officer. Michael Brown gets killed in the process. And by the way, they now have a monument for Michael Brown in the city of Ferguson, God help us. And now Warner Brothers is going to make a movie of his life. I can't imagine how stupid this movie is going to be and how they are going to so liberally represent the truth. Because if they do the reality of what took place, then they should be making a movie about the real tragedy of Ferguson, and that is all of the lives that were destroyed because of the violence, because of Michael Brown. But they're not going to do that. I guarantee you, they're going to, just like as in the announcement of the movie, what photograph do they use of Michael Brown? It certainly isn't the one where he was attacking and pushing around the store clerk that he was robbing. No, they had him in his cap and gown from his high school graduation, making him look like an angelic fellow. Once again, the liberal media, the entertainment industry, subverts the truth in order to put forth a narrative which suborns the reality. And this is what we're going to see. I can't imagine that 12 people are going to go watch this movie, but Warner Brothers feels compelled to make it. You know what I'd like to see happen? You know, I know that there's a law that says if you commit a crime and then you go to prison and you write a book, the victims of the crime can get the profits. They can take the ill-gotten gains, if you will, in a civil suit. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see Officer Darren Wilson file suit against the estate of Michael Brown. Now, tell me if this wouldn't be the sweetest of all victories here. If Officer Wilson filed a lawsuit against Michael Brown's family and the book that was written and the estate of Michael Brown, and then this movie was made or rights were paid, he could wind up actually maybe becoming whole. That would be the sweetest of victories in my mind. Probably won't happen, but it certainly is a nice thought to think, isn't it? Because I can't imagine that that people are going to go to this movie and be swayed as to the narrative instead of the truth, which is now evident and has been evident, of the lies of hands up, don't shoot, of the fact that Michael Brown was a victim. Everyone knows that is not the truth. So Are they going to spin this yarn as some type of fictional story? Because if you go by the facts, there's only one way to portray this individual, Michael Brown, and that's as a thug, as a criminal. And you know, right now the civil suit is still taking place, and the lawyers for the Brown family are doing everything that they possibly can not to allow evidence into the trial that will allow the jury to hear about Michael Brown's actual criminal history and his drug use and his past performance as a human being. They're doing everything to stop it. Now, why do you suppose that is? Well, it's of course because we know what kind of human being Michael Brown was. We saw that evidenced by the videotape of him strong-arming the little clerk in the store that he was stealing the cigarillos from. So once again, we have the Hollywood elite. We have the liberal media wanting to spin out a narrative that goes along with the lies that grew out of the hate-filled protests in Ferguson that are still to this day affecting the lives of people that live there. There are still plenty of burnt out stores. There's still plenty of people who whose lives will never be the same. And the only person that we have to blame for it is Michael Brown. And they're going to now take this movie and glorify him. And once again, glorify the thug culture. So that, my friends, is my view from the blue.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our one-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest-growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our one-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
Hello, and with me today on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, is Constance St. Germain. Now, Constance is a little bit different than the normal guest that I have because she's got so many letters behind her name, I can't even say them all. But in essence, she's the Executive Dean for the College of Humanities and Sciences at University of Phoenix. And she has strategic, operational, and P&L responsibilities for approximately 7,500 faculty, 28,000 students, and 45 ground campuses across the country and online. And under her leadership, the college fosters educational excellence, interdisciplinary inquiry through a unique blend of programs in the humanities, natural sciences, and social sciences. She's positioned the college as an incubator for continued growth and development to transform students into socially aware, critically thinking global citizens. And I want to welcome you to Blue Lives Radio. Constance, is it okay if I call you Constance?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
Well, you know, what drew my attention, and I asked both you and your associate, Dennis Bonilla, to be on this program because your university has always had a real inclination to educate law enforcement officers. And when I read about an amazing opportunity that you're offering for scholarships, I wanted to bring that to the attention of my listening public. So if you would, first of all, give us a little background about the university and the law enforcement aspects to it.
Sure. So at University of Phoenix, we do offer a criminal justice program as well as public administration programs. And within my college, obviously, I also have the humanities and sciences. But really, University of Phoenix has a big focus towards first responders, law enforcement, military personnel, right? All those people that serve their country. And so what we wanted to do with these scholarships is really give back to the community, specifically in this case, the law enforcement community. And so this is actually the second year that we've done this by partnering with the Foundation of International Association of Chiefs of Police to do a scholarship program for them. And part of that idea was that we really wanted to give back to those who serve and risk their lives to protect our communities, essentially. And so we wanted to make sure specifically that those law enforcement individuals who serve our communities and who may be injured in the line of duty aren't prohibited really from earning their degree so they can enhance their career, right? That's the least that we could do. And so for the second year in a row, we're offering two scholarships, and people can apply for them on the Phoenix website. And with that, they can either get their full scholarship, so they can either pursue their undergraduate degree or their master's degree in any chosen field of study that they'd like that the University of Phoenix offers.
So these scholarships, they're only offered to active duty law enforcement officers, is that correct?
So there are actually two, for this specific scholarship, there's actually two criteria. So you have to be a current or former law enforcement officer that's been injured in the line of duty, or the current spouse or dependent of an injured officer. So we also wanted to open up to families as well.
Ah, okay. I did not understand that this was for injured police officers. I like that even more.
Correct. So we wanted to make sure, and really what this came about was last year when we did this program, there was an officer who had applied for this, and he was actually a Denver police officer, and he had been struck and dragged by a car while he was on bike patrol, and he had spent several months in the hospital recovering from his injuries and ultimately ended up being medically retired last year. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to provide him the opportunity to go back and pursue his degree. And so that's how this all came about. And it was really great because he came a few months ago with his family and brought his children here and toured the campus. And it was really just such a great feeling for everybody in the college to see the impact of that scholarship that was having on this officer's life.
That's a great story.
Right. Being able to like fulfill his dream of completing his college degree.
Oh, that's a very inspirational story. And so this is the second year in a row that you have afforded these scholarships?
Yes, the second year in a row that we've done it with this particular organization. We do have numerous scholarship opportunities available, and you can find those at www.phoenix.edu/scholarships. So anybody can go to the website there and see what's available. I'll tell you, though, as part of the submission process, applicants do need to submit an essay about what their educational goals are and what their personal story is and why they actually want to pursue this degree. And so we are happy to review all those kind of applications, and we really hope people take advantage of it because we want to give back to the community.
Well, I think that's something that without a doubt will get a lot of attention in the law enforcement community. Now, how long have you been with the University of Phoenix?
So I've been with the University of Phoenix for almost 3 years now, and it's really just been a great time to see how the university has evolved and really streamline its programs. And there's been a great focus on quality and retention and progression, as well as reaching out to communities and underserved populations and, you know, working to make sure that we're furthering those educational goals by providing the support that they need to ensure not only that they're getting their student outcomes and learning goals met, but also their personal and professional goals, whatever they may be. And so, you know, there's so many degrees here at the University of Phoenix, really too many to name, but I want to just make sure that people know that when they go, if they apply for this scholarship, they don't need to take it within humanities and sciences. They don't need to get their degree in criminal justice. They really can avail themselves to all the opportunities and all the degree programs, certificates, things like that, that we have here at the University of Phoenix. And so I would strongly suggest that people go to the website and look at what our offerings are, and they can certainly speak with somebody if they need to, an enrollment representative, to discuss, you know, what actually their ultimate goals are before, you know, deciding what career they'd like to pursue.
And when it comes down to actually enrolling, the University of Phoenix, is it predominantly an online service? Because I know you have a number of campuses around the country.
We do have ground campuses in about 29 markets around the country. They're primarily in, big areas like Las Vegas, for example, Phoenix, obviously. We have a lot of campuses in California. So around cities, Dallas, Houston, those kind of places, as well as also on the East Coast. And so students can look on the website and see if their chosen degree program is offered on ground, as we call it, or they can go online and decide, you know, what best fits their lives.
Well, that certainly gives a lot of flexibility to the methodology in using the university. Now, let me ask you this. I know that you have a very robust law enforcement program. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a really strong criminal justice program here at the university. It's really great because we have an industry advisory council every year that's made up of chiefs of police from around the country, federal law enforcement, all those different areas that we try to bring in to get that really a really overview, right, of the field and take a look so we can make sure that all the curriculum that we're providing is up to date and best practices about what's going on actually in law enforcement today. And so we've been able to develop the curriculum so that individuals that are going through it, whether they're in an associate's program or the bachelor's program, really can avail themselves the opportunity and be able to link their the learning that's going on in the classroom, right, to real-world events so they can go out there and apply it right away. And you know, the criminal justice program is very large here at the university. We have a lot of faculty who are either current officers in law enforcement or former. So they're bringing their own practitioner experience to the classroom, and I think that really enhances the overall learning.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask you that. Is there a criteria for becoming a professor or at the university one of the things that police officers, when they are getting trained, if the instructor, in this case a professor, doesn't have the background, they will get no respect from that law enforcement mm-hmm. officer. So what kind of vetting do you do to make sure that your professors that are teaching law enforcement topics have that expertise that's practical?
Well, you know, we actually have a pretty stringent process for faculty here at University of Phoenix, and not only do they have to have the appropriate academic credentials with that they have a degree in the discipline that they're teaching in, but in addition, they also have to bring practitioner experience with them. So we don't want just somebody who's only ever been in a classroom, which sometimes you can find in traditional higher education, right? Faculty who have gone and gotten their degrees but have never actually practiced in their chosen fields. And that doesn't happen here at University of Phoenix. So everybody that you're interacting with is in the faculty you know, is working right now in the field, has extensive knowledge, you know, in addition to having that academic background, whether it's, you know, a master's degree in criminal justice or even, you know, a PhD in criminal justice. So we want to make sure that our students are getting the best information, the best learning experience they can have.
That's excellent. That's great to hear. Now, when it comes down to actually taking the courses, is there, like, could they do it as a combination, or does it have to be one or the other? Do they go to the ground campuses, or is it one or the other, or can it be a combination?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So if a student goes on ground, they can take a few courses online if they should choose to do that. However, their primary course of study will then be on ground unless they transition into the online program. And the ground program, the online program, they're the exact same. They're just offered in different formats. If that makes sense. So, you know, the online program, the courses are typically 5 weeks. They're all taught in an asynchronous format, which means you don't have to be in the classroom at any given time.
Tell me that word again. What was that word?
Asynchronous. So it means
must be a college professor.
Yeah, you can be in the classroom when it fits your schedule. Right. I mean, obviously, you have to log in a few times a week so we can make sure that people are actually progressing as they should be progressing through the class. But you don't have to be there, let's say, Mondays from 9 to 11. Right. So if you're working during the day and you want to do your work at night and log into the classroom, you can do that. Or if you're working nights or coming off of a swing shift and you want to do your work in the early morning hours, you can do that as well, as long as you meet the due dates at the end of the week to submit the assignments. So it really offers, you know, working professionals that opportunity for flexibility.
And I think that's probably one of the most attractive parts about University of Phoenix is that it is you actually tailor your educational opportunities for the working person, correct?
We do. I mean, really, nobody understands the working adult better than us. And the university was founded actually 40 years ago by Dr. John Sperling, and his vision was to provide working adults an opportunity to complete their degrees, because he saw as far back as 1970 that there might have been individuals who left college or never had the opportunity to go to college, and who really higher education wasn't responding to, and wasn't really willing to work around their lives to help them fit education in. And so that's how University of Phoenix originally was founded, for those working adults. And we've kept true to that mission for over 40 years.
That's amazing. Now, how has the University of Phoenix adopted and grown to fit into the modern working life?
You know, a lot of the things that we have right now, we have 24/7 tutoring, for example, in the library, right? So whether you have to write a paper and you want to submit it to the Writing Center to have it edited, you can do that. For those students who are getting, you know, going on and getting their bachelor's and fulfilling their general education requirements, we have 24/7 tutoring in math. So if it's 3 a.m. and you're doing your homework and you get stuck on a math problem, you can go to the tutoring center and somebody will be there in the tutoring center online to help you.
24/7?
So those kind of great 24/7.
Wow.
You can go there and get this kind of help. And the same thing with the library, because our entire library is digital. So you can log in at any time, anywhere. You can be in Starbucks and log into the library and do your research.
A
that
police
you
officer in Starbucks?
And write
Come
it
on.
Up. But basically, you can do it from anywhere. If you can get a Wi-Fi connection, you can make it work.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and this degree program that where the scholarships are being offered, that's for any degree in any discipline, whether it's an associate's or a bachelor's. Is that correct?
That's correct. So whether it's an undergraduate or master's, they can go get their master's. That's correct.
Or master's as well. And the criteria is that you must be an active duty or a former law enforcement officer who has been injured in the line of duty, or the spouse of that officer?
Right, or dependent of an officer who was injured.
Or dependent. Okay, good. What kind of proofs do you need in order to make sure that they will have to submit?
You know, that I would go to the website, the scholarship website, and see. Off the top of my head, I don't know exactly, but I'm sure they're going to request some kind of, you know, information about that, you know, in the application process, some verification.
Right, that's what I would think. Okay, that's great. Well, you know, thank you so much for appearing on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I know that we're going to have a little chat with Dennis Bonilla, who is your counterpart over there. And I want to, once again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'll turn it right over to Dennis.
Hello.
Hello, Dennis. I want to introduce you to my listeners. And to be perfectly clear with all my listeners, I know Dennis very well. He is a person that I consider to be a close friend of mine. And when I heard about this opportunity that the University of Phoenix is offering, I thought it was really a perfect time to reach out. We had discussed having him on the show before, and this just afforded the perfect opportunity. Now, he's the executive dean and is responsible for all aspects of the College of Information Systems and Technology, including the college's financial performance, academic performance, and its marketing operations. His wealth of experience in delivering technology leadership and innovations spans a variety of industries, including education, telecommunications, energy, and nuclear engineering. Prior to joining the University of Phoenix, Mr. Bonilla was Senior Vice President of Learning Solutions at GP Strategies Corporation, where he was executive in charge of global account strategy for Microsoft and other Fortune 500 companies, and he was also a naval officer who served on a nuclear submarine. I noticed you left that out, Dennis, but I want to bring it up.
Yes, that's what. Actually, that's one of my proudest moments of my career, Randy, so I'm glad you brought that up.
me too. Well, you know, Dennis, you and I have talked in great detail about, I know that when you made the move to University of Phoenix, you did so out of a strong sense of being committed to changing lives and through education. So I know that we've had this discussion, but would you tell my listeners a little bit about the University of Phoenix and how it is so innovative and making delivering education to law enforcement officers in not just in a degree in law enforcement, but for all kinds of other educational opportunities as well?
Right. So, you know, as Constance mentioned, you know, we've been around for 40 years and serving the needs of working adults when many higher education institutions just ignored them, right? Everybody was focused on, you know, kids coming in out of high school and you know, going through their degree programs and graduating and then going into the workforce, where Dr. Sperling saw that, you know, there's a lot of people who may have started their college education, had dropped out, or were working and needed to get a college education to advance, and hence the University of Phoenix was born and has continued to be the most innovative university for working adults since that time. I mean, we're the ones who obviously created, you know, going to school at night, going to school on Saturdays. You know, Dr. Sperling was originally a professor at San Jose State, and he had brought that idea to San Jose State, and they said, we're not interested in doing that, which is why he came to Arizona and founded the University of Phoenix. Then, you know, after creating that disruption for working class adults, then, you know, the next innovation we did was online learning. You know, this was, you know, in the early days of the Internet when people poo-pooed, you know, online learning and the validity of online degrees and can you get a quality education. So we pioneered all that. Now every university in the country, including Harvard and MIT and Stanford, have all copied us on that model of being able to provide and opportunities for online learning, so that you don't have to be necessarily near a physical campus to get the quality degree that you want. So, you know, every university now has a blended model where they have, you know, ground and online. And then, you know, we continue to innovate in that, you know, we're the ones that are really driving, you know, sort of, you know, this innovation around making sure that once when you come to get a degree at the University of Phoenix, it's a career relevant degree. So you're going to, you know, what you learn here, you'll be able to apply in the job without having to, you know, necessarily you know, have the company you're going to work for have to retrain you and say, well, you know, you went to college, you got a degree in criminal justice, but you don't know anything about criminal justice. Well, you know, our practitioner faculty and our industry advisory councils really drive that relevancy so that when you graduate with a degree at the University of Phoenix, you'll be fairly confident that you'll be able to you know, apply for a role, for a job or a career enhancement in the industry that you're seeking, and you'll have the skills and abilities to be able to be successful at it.
You know as well as I do that law enforcement has taken a real hit when it comes down to recruitment and retention because of the societal issues that have plagued law enforcement through not just social media, but political agendas, media, anti-law enforcement media. And how is the changes in law enforcement, how have they affected the curriculum and the methodology of the law enforcement program at University of Phoenix, or hasn't it?
Well, it has. I mean, you know, one of the things that we have partnered with in a variety of communities, for instance, here in Phoenix, we have held symposiums and forums between the police community and the African-American community in Phoenix to make sure that there's alignment, there's trust that's being built. And, you know, we're involved in those activities consistently here, especially in Phoenix, to make sure that, you know, that law enforcement and the communities, both African-American, Hispanic, whatever, are really aligned around, you know, the benefit of having proper law enforcement and proper understanding of the role of law enforcement in the community. So we've seen a lot of changes. You know, we know that, you know, there's different types of techniques and ways to prepare law enforcement for policing in the community. Those are integrated into the program. So, you know, we stay on top of what the recent community events are and make sure that the curriculum and the practitioners and the folks working on that are also, you know, at the top of the food chain when it comes to those activities and how to deal with that so that the curriculum remains relevant for those folks who are going through that and they can be prepared to expect, you know, those challenges when they go into the workforce.
The, you know, there's a lot of community colleges that, you know, well, let me put it this way. Earlier in my career, when you got hired by a police agency, you were sent away to a police academy. The city either had its own, or they sent you to a county facility or a state facility. That's changed a lot over the last 10 or 20 years. Now, some of these police academies are being offered at community colleges, and so they're a basic police certificate can be obtained by going to a community college police academy. And sometimes you don't even have to be employed. You can put yourself through a police academy and then become certified and then hopefully get a job because you have that education. Is University of Phoenix planning anything when it comes down to creating a basic police academy?
Not at the form at the community college level. What we have done is we have articulation agreements with many community colleges across the country where those folks who have taken the two-year associate degree at the community college can then apply to finish their degree at the University of Phoenix, and then those credits and that degree are recognized here at the university, and then their pathway to get the four-year degree is you know halfway over, right? So we don't have any plans to create a police academy type structure at the two-year level, but we do encourage and have pathways and alliances and articulation agreements with those community colleges that offer the associates so that people can complete their bachelor's degree at the University of Phoenix, or even an advanced degree if you know they already have the bachelor's degree.
Right, right. You know, one of the problems nationally with law enforcement training is that each state has its own post by any other name is a police officer standards and training commission. And they are basically the clearinghouse and the regulatory agency for states that determine how many hours of training a basic academy is, how many hours of training law enforcement officers have to receive each year as a to keep their certification valid. Are the courses offered at University of Phoenix, are they post-certified courses, do you know?
Well, here's what I do know, Randy, because that's very analogous to teacher certification, for instance, or to CPA certification, right? And, you know, what's interesting, right, a lot of people maybe don't realize, you know, education is a state-run directive. You know, there's a Department of Education at the national level, but, you know, the states decide what educational requirements there are, what are the standards, what are the requirements, and then, you know, you implement it based on a state level. And in some cases, you know, there's reciprocity from state to state as to what they consider acceptable continuing education or continuing professional development credits. But we do have professional development courses that people can take that will help drive, you know, the continuation of that certification once it's been approved. And we do that in a variety of places around the country, including, where we have campuses and also where you can do it online.
Well, I know that you're very proud of the University of Phoenix and the quality of the education that your college provides, your university provides. And I've seen how innovative you are personally. So what else do you have in the works for improving the University of Phoenix when it comes down to delivering applicable courses or how it can affect law enforcement officers around the country?
Well, you know, Randy, we're continuously looking at how to improve the curriculum and continue to make it relevant. I mean, one of the things that we're doing in my college specifically is, you know, there's a real high demand now, and you probably will see it, you know, with the folks that you've worked with at Metro and other places around, you know, the convergence of physical security and cybersecurity, right? So it's really tough to be a police officer these days and not have cyber skills, and it's tough to be a cyber expert and not understand what's going on from a physical and operational security perspective, right? So many of the new programs that we're launching and in cooperation with Constance's College and with other colleges is this, you know, convergence of physical operational security and cybersecurity, and making sure that everybody who goes through those degree programs has a foundational understanding of the challenges around cybersecurity, operational security, how to keep not only physical safety but also data safety. You know, there's a lot of police activity. You know, you look at all the FBI guys who focus on cybercrime and the complexities and sophistication of these cybercrimes. You know, we have a lot of forums here with the FBI and with local police, and we talk about, you know, issues around, you know, cybercrime, but also, you know, issues around human trafficking and the complexities around human trafficking and how that plays into, you know, both, you know, electronics and the mind and psychology. And so these things are, you know, these are all societal issues that require a much more holistic approach than just a siloed degree approach. And that's what we do here at the university. We really work on trying to understand the systemic issues and how we can best apply and address not only technical skills, but those professional communication skills, collaboration skills, critical thinking, problem solving, because these are things you're going to find whether you're a police officer in a small community, a police officer in a big community, whether you're working for the municipality, for the government, for the state, whether you're a Secret Service guy or FBI guy. These are all skills that are needed, and we continuously focus on making sure that we stay at the cutting edge of that curriculum.
Well, that's awesome, and I know that there are a lot of law enforcement officers around the country that avail themselves of your university. And once again, right now you guys are offering two scholarships, all paid scholarships for any degree, as long as it's for an injured officer or for the family member, a dependent of an injured officer. And
spouse or dependent, that's correct, yes.
And once again, if you would, what's the website where they can apply for that and get information?
So the website is www.phoenix.edu/scholarships.
And that's where they would go to apply and also to get information.
To apply and get information. Again, you know, it's interesting, though. I don't know, Randy, if you remember a couple years ago at an event in Las Vegas, we awarded 4 full-time scholarships to the Vegas community at one of the events hosted by one of the local nonprofits in Las Vegas with Sandy Pelton. And, you know, the same process. People applied. They were evaluated. I am happy to say that, you know, we gave away 4 scholarships, and those 4 students are still in school. You know, some are pursuing master's degrees, some are pursuing undergraduate degrees, but it was, you know, their choice. And, you know, I think that's what the beauty of these scholarships is. You know, if you already have a degree in law enforcement, let's say, or criminal justice, and you want to get a master's degree in let's say, organizational development or public administration, whatever, this scholarship will allow you to do that, and it's a full ride scholarship. And as long as you maintain all the requirements that are needed to, you know, to keep scholarship status like you would at any academic institution, then, you know, this is a good way to drive that without affecting anything in your economic situation and really helping you out.
That's awesome. I want to thank you for the opportunity to let people know about the scholarships, and also for coming on to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I appreciate you and Constance being on the show today.
Well, you know, thank you for the opportunity. We're very honored to have been on there, and glad to come back anytime and talk more about our programs and what's going on. And like, you know, Constance says, we have a tremendous dedication to first responders, law enforcement, military, and veterans. It's a big percentage of our students, and, you know, we want to make sure that they are served well and continuously allow those opportunities to be successful.
Well, thank you. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
End of watch.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay tribute to the men and women of the American policing community who have given their lives in the line of duty. Unfortunately, this week I have 2 names to read. The first is Police Officer Nathan Desjardins of the Fryeburg, Maine Police Department. Police Officer Nathan Desjardins succumbed to injuries sustained on May 27, 2017, in a boating accident on the Saco River. He was participating in his first day of water rescue training when he and his training officer were dispatched to assist with the rescue of 3 boaters who had been thrown overboard when their canoes capsized. One of the missing boaters drowned during the incident. Officer Desjardins' patrol boat struck a submerged object in the water. As it came around a bend in the river, both officers were thrown overboard and Officer Desjardins suffered a severe head injury. Both officers were flown to Central Maine Medical Center, where Officer Desjardins remained in a coma until succumbing to his injuries on June 6, 2017. He served as a part-time officer with the Fryeburg Police Department for only 3 months and was a full-time student. He survived by his parents and brother. Police Officer Nathan M. Desjardins, Fryeburg Police Department in Maine, is End of Watch, Tuesday, June 6, 2017. The second law enforcement officer to die in the line of duty, Master Sergeant William Trampas Bishop of the Florida Highway Patrol. Master Sergeant William Bishop was struck and killed by a vehicle while investigating an accident on I-75 in Alachua County. He was outside of his vehicle when a secondary accident occurred in the center lane at approximately 6:35 p.m. One of the vehicles involved in the secondary accident then struck Sergeant Bishop, pinning him underneath it. He has served with the Florida Highway Patrol for 30 years and is survived by his wife and son. Master Sergeant William Trampas Bishop, Florida Highway Patrol. End of watch, Saturday, June 17, 2017. These officers gave their lives in the line of duty. May they rest in peace. I want to thank you so much for joining in and listening to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I really do appreciate it, and I hope that you are enjoying these shows. I would really love your input. You can email me at randysutton@americaoutloud.com. I'd love your input. If you have a guest that you think would be an interesting guest for this show, please let me know, suggest them, and I'll do my best to bring them on the show. Once again, I want to thank those that make this show possible. That is that BlueLivesMatter.blue. That is the Blue Lives Matter movement. Our website, BlueLivesMatter.blue, is the news and information website. And Warrior12.com, which is the product line for Blue Lives Matter. They got the coolest t-shirts. And now they've got these hot and cold cups that I forget what they're called, but they're some type of famous name, and they keep everything hot, they keep everything cold, and at Police Week, they sold like hotcakes. Apparently, everybody loves them. So check them out, warrior12.com. And once again, if you aren't aware of it, I have a number of books. True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, A Cop's Life, and True Blue to Protect and Serve. And I'd love for you to take a look at them. Go to Amazon.com, look me up, and if you want to contact me, RandyLSutton.com. Thanks. See you next week.